If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Today is Pentecost Sunday. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, but today is Pentecost Sunday, the day 50 days following the resurrection of Christ, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Acts chapter 2 and the church was birthed with a mighty move of God the Holy Spirit. And so today being Pentecost Sunday, I want to minister to you today on the Holy Spirit. And the title of my message is Transformed by the Spirit. Transformed by the Spirit. I heard a story about transformation. There was a family that lived in a rural, remote area, and they'd never been to the big city. And they came to the big city, to this big grand hotel. And while the mother was waiting in the car, the father and son went into this big fancy hotel to register. And while they were there in the lobby, they saw something they'd never seen before. It was an elevator. They were looking at it, had no idea what it was, trying to figure out what it was for. And as they were watching, an elderly woman hobbled her way to the elevator, and the doors opened, and she went inside. And they watched as the doors closed, and then a few moments later, the doors opened again, and out from the elevator stepped this young, beautiful woman. And the father couldn't believe it. He was just staring at this box that opened up and seemingly transformed this elderly lady into a young, beautiful woman. And without turning his head, he nudged his son in the arm and said, "Son, go get your mother." Well, that's one type of transformation, I suppose. But that's not the type of transformation we're talking about today. We're talking about the transformation that comes through the Holy Spirit. I believe the greatest force for transformation in the world, and particularly in the life of the believer, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus ascended to heaven following his resurrection, he said this to his disciples. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And this is exactly what happened. This was demonstrated in the lives of the early believers. And so today, for the next few minutes, I want to use their experience, and particularly that of Peter, to illustrate the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, I want to share with you three aspects of being transformed by the Spirit. Three aspects of being transformed by the Spirit. The first is this: it's the need of being transformed by the Holy Spirit. And the need is this: to receive power for our weakness. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "You will receive power." You see, they had been with him for a number of years. They had heard him speak. They had seen him perform miracles. And they had absorbed many, many principles from him. But Jesus said, before you go and fulfill your mission, there's one thing you need to do. He said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. And when you receive that gift, you will receive power. This is particularly illustrated in the life of Peter. Now, a few weeks ago, I preached a message on being detoured and redirected, and I talked about the importance of repentance. And we looked at that in the life of Peter. Well, I want to go back to that and the same portions of Scripture to highlight another aspect of transformation. We said that true repentance brings about transformation, and that is so true. But also, it's the power of the Holy Spirit that brings a transformation in our lives. You may remember we looked in Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. As Jesus had prophesied, Peter disowned the Lord or denied the Lord three times, each with increasing vehemence that he didn't know the Lord. And just as Jesus predicted, he did that three times before the rooster crowed, signifying the beginning of a new day. Why did Peter do that? Because he was weak. He was fearful. He was unable to find the strength within himself to stand up for Jesus. You see, Jesus had given his disciples authority. As a matter of fact, he'd sent them out to do ministry. He had given them authority, but they lacked power. There is a difference today between authority and power. All believers, that is, all those who have received Christ as Lord and Savior, have authority that Christ has given them. But they need power. I heard a story about a government man who worked for the Department of the Interior. And he was sent out to go to various places, various farms, and to take certain readings in the fields of these farmers. And he came to one farmer and told him, he said, I have been authorized to go into your field to take certain readings. And the farmer said, you can't go into my field. And a bit perturbed, this government agent pulled out a piece of paper that had been signed by the Secretary of the Interior, and he showed it to the farmer, and he said, see here, I have been given complete authority to go into your field and to take measurements. And so he started climbing over the fence to go into the field, and the farmer said again, you can't go into my field. And the government agent just shrugged him off, went out into the center of the field and began setting up his equipment to take his readings. When suddenly he heard a rumble and the ground beneath him began to shake, and he looked up and there was this angry bull that was charging this government agent. So he forgot about his equipment. He started running to the edge of the field toward the fence, and he's yelling to the farmer, help, help me. This bull is coming after me, help me. The farmer yelled out to him, just show him your paper. You see, that government agent, he had authority to go into that field, but he didn't have power to deal with that bull. You and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have authority, but we need power. And as Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended to the Father, wait for the gift my Father promised. When he sends you that gift, you will receive power. And I believe that the greatest need that many believers have is power for their weakness. Jesus said he wouldn't leave us alone when he ascended to the Father. He wouldn't leave us comfortless, but he would send the Holy Spirit to be with us and to endue us with power. Listen, you know this as well as I do. We live in a difficult world. We live in a complicated society. And sometimes it's hard to know what to do, and hard to find the words to speak, and hard to feel bold enough to stand up for the Lord when we need to. What do we need? We need the power of the Holy Spirit. My prayer for us on this Pentecost Sunday is, Lord, give us your power. Give us the power that we need. Lord, we confess, we acknowledge that we in and of ourselves are weak, but Lord, give us your power. The need on this Pentecost Sunday is for the power of the Holy Spirit to come to us in our weakness. And then secondly, in addition to considering the need for transformation by the Holy Spirit to receive power for our weakness, I want to talk about the experience of being transformed by the Holy Spirit. And the experience is something we call Spirit baptism. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. What did he mean by that? Well, up until that time, the Holy Spirit had not dwelled within the people of God in all his fullness. In the Old Testament era and up to the day of Pentecost, we read that at times the Holy Spirit would come upon men and women of God for them to do extraordinary feats. But this was something new that Jesus was saying would happen. Now, I want to be clear that when we receive Christ, we do have the Holy Spirit within us. It is the Holy Spirit who draws us to Jesus Christ and convicts us of sin and comes to dwell within our hearts when we accept Christ as our Savior. But what Jesus was talking about here was the fullness of the Spirit, the fullness to overflowing of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. And of course, what he said came true in the very next chapter, in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we read this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. This was the initial outpouring of the fullness of the Spirit of God, the Spirit baptism on the people of God. And note, there were a number of phenomena that took place. The sound of violent wind that they heard. There was the shaking of the place. They saw, the scripture says, what seemed to be tongues of fire that came down and separated and rested upon each of them. And they all began to speak in other tongues or other languages that they had not learned as the Holy Spirit enabled them. Now, these phenomena were not repeated in subsequent infillings of the Holy Spirit. The shaking, the sound of the wind, the appearance of the tongues of fire that rested on each of them. They were phenomena that the Scripture tells us were experienced on that one occasion, the birth of the church. But the other phenomenon, that of speaking in unlearned tongues, speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit enabled them, we find that was repeated throughout subsequent infillings recorded in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, there are five instances where the scripture records that individuals were filled or were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And in three of those five instances, the scripture specifically states that the onlookers knew that these people had been filled with the Holy Spirit because they heard them speak in other tongues. And in the other two instances where that is not explicitly stated, it is implied that there was some kind of outward phenomenon by which the observers knew that individuals had been filled with the Holy Spirit. And so the norm seems clear from the scripture that when a believer is filled with Christ, they have to be a believer. When they are filled with the Holy Spirit, that the initial physical evidence is speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit enables them. And I'm going to talk more about that in a few moments. But I want you to understand that this is a separate experience from salvation. One of those instances of infilling in Acts is in Acts chapter 19, where Paul is talking to some men in Ephesus, and he says this to them. He says, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" Now, it's clear by his saying, "since you believed," that these were believers. These were born-again Christians. But yet Paul asks them, "Have you had this experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit?" And they said no, they hadn't heard of that experience. And Paul laid hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit as evidenced by their speaking in other tongues. And so we see that this is a separate experience for believers who have come to Christ but are open to receiving more power from Him. I don't know about you, but I always want all that God has for me. I always want to receive all that He wants to pour into my life. How about you today? And if you have not had this experience, infilling of the Holy Spirit, this baptism in the Holy Spirit, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, I want you to know you can have this experience. You can receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and it will bring about a change in your life. God is more willing to fill you with His Holy Spirit than you are to receive. I can tell you that. I could tell you so many stories of individuals who have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, but one always stays in my memory. I've shared this before with our congregation. We had a lady in our church who came to our first public service. It was Palm Sunday, 1993, in our old facility. And she came to that service, and she gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Her name was Barbara. And she was gloriously saved, and the Lord just did a great work in her life. And flash forward a year or two in the future, and I was preaching and teaching on one Sunday, perhaps a series of Sundays, on the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the power that comes with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And we had a time in our service, as we do sometimes, where people were seeking for this experience, and Barbara was open. She was hungry for the fullness of the Spirit, and she was praying, and she didn't receive that experience in the service, and she left, I think, maybe perhaps a little bit discouraged, and that happens sometimes. Not everyone receives that experience in a church service, although many do. And so Barbara left the church facility on her way home in her car. She was by herself. She had a husband at home who was not a believer, and she was heading home to him, and she just began talking to the Lord and praising the Lord and entering into the Lord's presence. And do you know what happened? As she was driving, she began to pray in a language she had never learned, and God gloriously filled her with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. She was so joyful and so excited. She said she took some side routes, you know, and some detours, because it was just such a precious time in her car that she just wanted to extend that experience. And so the Lord baptized her in the Holy Spirit in her car. Notice it was while she was driving. She wasn't in a trance. She wasn't, you know, numb. She wasn't unaware of her surroundings. She was just yielded to God the Holy Spirit, and she was gloriously baptized in the Holy Spirit. She had that experience, and her life was never the same. The next time we saw her, she was just beaming from ear to ear. She was a happy person anyway, but she was just beaming from ear to ear because she had received this experience. And let me tell you, God has an experience. If you haven't received this experience, God has this experience for you. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, this is for you and your children and for all who are afar off. And so I want to encourage you today to be hungry and thirsty for all that God has for you. We talked about the need for the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that the need is for power for our weakness. And we've talked secondly about the experience. It is a definite experience. You know, we Pentecostals sometimes get accused of being too experience-oriented. And let me tell you, there's perhaps been a bit of truth of that down through the years. Experience always has to be grounded in the Word of God. If someone says to you, hey, I've had this spiritual experience, but it doesn't line up with the Scriptures and the Word of God, then you need to dismiss that, because the Word of God is our authority. But let me tell you, this experience of yielding to the Holy Spirit, receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit with the initial physical evidence of speaking in other tongues, this is grounded in Scripture. It's grounded in the eternal Word of God, and it's an experience that God has for each and every believer. It's not something you earn. It's not something you have to get to heaven. It's a gift. It's a gift to enable you to live as God wants you to live in this life. And so I pray that if you haven't received this experience, that you will become hungry and thirsty for all that God has for you. Thirdly, this morning, I want to talk about not only the need for the transformation of the Holy Spirit, that is power in our weakness, and the experience that of transformation that comes through Spirit baptism, but I want us to look at the result of being transformed by the Holy Spirit. And what's the result? The result of this experience is effectiveness in our witness and our life. Continuing further in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." You will be my witnesses, he said, in Jerusalem, which was the city, the capital city where they were, Jerusalem, and the surrounding area of Judea, and then Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, like the circles, concentric circles of a body of water after a pebble's been dropped in it. He said, "You'll be my witnesses," and ever expanding circles as a result of receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I mentioned Peter a few minutes ago, how he had failed Jesus so miserably when he denied him. But when you turn to Acts chapter 2, the latter part of Acts, you see a transformation in Peter's life. Listen to what he said, and I know we've shared this before, but listen to this same man who just a short time before had denied that he even knew Jesus. Listen to what he proclaimed after receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He said, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him. As you yourselves know, this man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." Peter goes on. He says, "God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this: God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." When the people heard this, the scripture says, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter, and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And the scripture goes on, "With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Wow, what a powerful proclamation of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Does that sound like the same Peter who a short time ago denied Jesus? No, it doesn't. But that's what the power of the fullness of the Holy Spirit can do in a life. He was transformed into a bold witness. And the baptism in the Holy Spirit is primarily for the purpose of making us effective in as witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another great illustration of this is the great evangelist of the 19th century, D.L. Moody. You may have heard his story. He was born in poverty. He had very little formal education, was mostly illiterate. He was turned down for church membership by the Congregational Church because he had insufficient Bible knowledge. And he went into business as a young man for a short time, had some success in business, but felt led to go into ministry. And because of his zeal and his hard work, God used him in ministry, and he won a number of souls. But in 1873, he received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said afterwards about that. About his ministry. He said, "The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted." In a two-year ministry tour in Europe shortly after his baptism, it is estimated that Moody ministered to 2.5 million people. his ministry impacted the church in many unseen ways. I want you to listen to this. His ministry influenced a young man named F.B. Meyer. F.B. Meyer became an evangelist and had a powerful ministry. And F.B. Meyer, in turn, influenced a man named J. Wilbur Chapman, who was a minister of the gospel. Chapman, in turn, influenced the life of a young man named Billy Sunday. Have you heard of Billy Sunday? If you haven't, you need to Google Billy Sunday. Billy Sunday was a former professional baseball player. I believe he played for the Chicago White Sox. And God got a hold of his life, and he became a powerful minister of the gospel. Billy Sunday, in turn, had a profound impact on a man of God named Mordecai Ham. And you might say, I've never heard of Mordecai Ham. Well, I bet you heard of a young man that Mordecai Ham influenced. He went by the name of Billy Graham. I know you've heard of Billy Graham, the greatest evangelist of the 20th century. And so you can trace a spiritual lineage all the way from D.L. Moody to Billy Graham, and think of the millions of people that came to Christ through Billy Graham. How did all this happen? It was because, I believe, Moody, who was a dedicated man of God, was transformed by receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit and became a mighty witness of the power of God. Listen to this. Moody had this to say. He said, I think it is clearly taught in Scripture that every believer has the Holy Ghost dwelling in him. Though Christian men and women have the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, yet he is not dwelling within them in power. In other words, God has a great many sons and daughters without power. The disciples of Jesus were all filled with the Spirit, and the word was published. And when the Spirit of God comes down upon the church, and we are anointed, the word will be published in the streets, in the lanes, and in the alleys. There will not be a dark cellar, nor a dark attic, nor a home where the gospel will not be carried by some loving heart if the Spirit comes upon God's people in demonstration and in power. Moody knew what he was talking about because the Holy Spirit brought about such a transformation in his life. I have another quote to share with you. Tim Enloe, whom God has powerfully anointed to teach and minister on the ministry of the Holy Spirit and to lead people into the reception of Spirit baptism, is a close friend of mine, a close friend of our churches. He's conducted a couple of Holy Spirit conferences here. We just had him about a year ago at this time. And Tim has powerful, as I said, a powerful anointed ministry in this area and has powerful insights into the work of the Holy Spirit. Tim Enloe said this, biblically, tongues is a prophetic confirmation of a prophetic anointing to be a prophetic witness. That's why Peter explained the event as the fulfillment of Joel's oracle, where one day everyone could be a prophet. Suddenly, speaking in tongues takes on a vital functional role for the believer who wants to be a prophetic witness. Why do we need spirit baptism? It's all about God affecting what we say, plain and simple. We need spirit baptism not primarily so we can speak in tongues. We need it so we can speak to lost people. Boy, that's powerful. That's as clear and concise an explanation of why we need the baptism in the Holy Spirit to be effective in speaking to lost people. Tim has also said that in his personal experience, the day after receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit at age 12, he led someone to Jesus in a 7-Eleven. Can you imagine that? And then the next day, he prayed for someone with a broken bone, and they were immediately healed. And God has used him in the years since to see people healed and won to Christ. And he credits that all to the fullness of the Holy Spirit operating in his life. So again, the point of speaking in tongues is that God anoints our speech. It demonstrates the Holy Spirit speaking through us and giving us the ability in our own language to share the gospel effectively with lost people. The Spirit baptism enables us to communicate with God beyond the limitations of our understanding. It's also the gateway to the power gifts, such as prophecy and word of knowledge, etc. So spirit baptism opens the doors to being used of God in many ways. But the primary purpose is to give us the Spirit's power to speak to lost people. Church, we need the fullness of the Spirit of God. God's plan for every believer is to receive the fullness of the Spirit. So God will fill us to overflowing. We said that the need of being transformed by the Holy Spirit is to receive power for our weakness. Can we just be honest with ourselves and admit that though we're believers in Christ, we are full of weakness? We need God's power through the Holy Spirit. And we need to acknowledge that power of the Holy Spirit for our weakness, and that we need the experience of being transformed by the Holy Spirit that comes through Spirit baptism. It's not something that we have happen to us. It's something that we get to have happen to us. It's not a requirement for salvation or to get to heaven. It's a gift from your Heavenly Father to transform you. It's an experience that is available to each and every believer. And we said the result of being transformed by the Holy Spirit is that we become effective, more effective in our witness and in our life that we live for the Lord. My heart's desire is that every one of us be filled with the Holy Spirit to overflowing, that He use us as vessels for His glory. And yes, you and I may be able to be used out of sincerity and out of determination and out of faithfulness, and we thank God for that, and that's necessary. But I want to be used to the max. How about you? I want to be used to maximum capacity, and that only happens through the fullness of the Holy Spirit operating in my life and in your life. How do we receive this baptism in the Holy Spirit? Well, it's really quite simple. First, we draw near to Jesus. We get alone with Him or get in a place where we're focused on Him, and we begin to pray and to call upon His name and to draw near to Him in praise and ask Him to fill us. And then as we do that and we draw near to Him, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And then we need to yield to the prompting. The Holy Spirit will prompt you from within. And you need to open up your mouth and not speak in your native language, but just open up your mouth and speak. And the Spirit, He doesn't force you to speak, but you open up your mouth and He will enable you to speak in a beautiful language that, as we said, is not an end in itself, but it's evidence that the Holy Spirit is speaking through you and empowering you and enabling you to speak as He will have you to do, to share the gospel with those around you. As the story I shared about the lady who was filled with the Holy Spirit in her car, you don't have to be in a church sanctuary. We're coming back together next Sunday to worship the Lord together and fellowship. It's going to be a great time, but you don't have to wait till then. Right now, where you are in your home or wherever you're watching this, you can enter in, draw near to Jesus, enter into His presence, call upon Him, allow the Holy Spirit to come upon you and begin to yield your spirit and begin to yield to that prompting that rises up from within you, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. You do the speaking, but He enables you. And in so doing, you will receive that fullness of the Spirit, fullness to overflowing for power. I pray that that will be your experience if it hasn't already. And if you have received this experience, I pray that you'll walk in it. I pray that you'll speak in your prayer language and draw near to God and depend on the power of His Spirit every day of your life.